Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's okay. Yeah, they're okay. But it wasn't okay for little bitty old warriors to dominate. That never set well with me. That's something I don't like. The second point I want to make is I somehow don't think people still don't see, for some reason, Steph Curry and Clay and Dre is questionable as superstars in the same regard as LeBron because of it's the Golden State Warriors and they had Kevin Durant. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
That kind of makes me upset a little bit. But and the third thing I want to point out is I don't have high expectations for them to go to the playoffs or anything like that. And that's okay with me because they're reinventing themselves. And it is I am anxious about and have a healthy concern about them reinventing themselves because defensively they're going to stink. You guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Robin.
Appreciate it.
I mean, as it pertains to Curry, you know, to me, he's in LeBron's group, whatever that is, top three, top five. Clay, I can see how, if you're not watching the Warriors day in and day out, and I don't know that I would put Clay up there with LeBron in that group. I mean, but the way the Warriors.
But Curry should be in that.
No doubt. But you know, up until last year, it was Curry and Durant. What do you think about the part that, you know, do you think there's any kind of double standard in that people were like, oh, look, KD joins the Warriors, that's a joke, but Paul George and Kawhi Leonard weasel their way to the Clippers, that's okay. Anthony Davis finds a way to get to the Lakers, that's okay.
Yeah.
Kyrie and KD now in Brooklyn, they did that.
I think there is some underlying dislike for that. I think the one difference, though, is... I think what Robin was saying, there's something to that as far as people not want, the Warriors are doing it and whatever. Especially because the Warriors were already so good. I think that's part of
that
it. That's part of it. But I also think, you know, right now it's tamped down a little bit because it's what we were just talking about. It's the fact that it's two stars. I think if any one of those had three, you know, if it had been Paul George and Kawhi and Anthony Davis, let's say, then I think it would be, or... If, you know, Kawhi had chosen to go to the Lakers, let's say, and it had been Kawhi and LeBron and Anthony Davis,
sure,
and they had figured out a way to make that work, I think there would be a level of disdain for it, similar to the way those away from the Bay Area disliked the way the Warriors went about it.
Well, I mean, the thing that Warrior fans and us in the media have to keep, you know, understand is that the Golden State Warriors won it. They won it in 15. 14, 15? 15,
yeah, 15. 14, 15. Yeah, they won it,
they won
in 15.
It in 15. And that was a surprise.
They went from a six seed to a champion.
Thank you. So no, they skipped that step in the middle, or they took people by surprise. But anyway, I think there was a little bit of, I think a lot of people thought, you know what, they're not that. They kind of lucked into it with those injuries. They're playing away. They game this.
Right.
Next year they come back and the Warriors go all year and they're kicking everybody's butt all year long and they're setting a record.
Right.
They are.
You didn't think we're good?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is how good we really are.
So then they show everybody how good they are. And then the finals happen and whether they deserved it, whether they didn't deserve it, whether they got hosed, it doesn't matter. We knew that was a historic team. Even if they blew a 3-1 lead, they were still the best team in regular season history. And then they get Durant.
Right.
That's over the top compared to me with what anybody has done at this point. Now, do I begrudge him? No. Do I dislike him more? No.
Well, and look, but they had the foresight to – and look, where Curry was – Curry's contract, there are all kinds of things.
No doubt.
The fact that the Warriors drafted Draymond, he was a second-round pick, Clay, where they drafted him, the way the Warriors built it – and the cap going up. Like, they planned for all of it. Now, look, some of it was good fortune. You know, the fact that Curry wasn't a $30 million player sooner in his career. But they get credit for looking at the rules that were in play and taking advantage of them. Get credit for that.
No doubt.
A positive thing. That's not – you. Nobody should begrudge that. They were smart enough to look at it and figure out how to make it all work best for them.
Right. No doubt. And they – exactly. What they did. It was within the rules.
It was brilliant. I mean, if you want to – and here's the other way it was it's brilliant. It's the fact that by the end of 16, you could see that group was declining, as crazy as that sounds.
Oh, the Warriors group?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
the group without Durant. It was, hey, if you want to keep – because they didn't win the championship.
Right.
And I know there were circumstances there, but it was, hey, if you want to win two, three, four maybe
– right.
You need to add another starter.
You know, that's a great point, because let's say Durant never comes and the Warriors essentially run it back tinker.
I think they could have won maybe one more.
I do too, but think about the work they would have had to put into it without Durant, who, let's be honest, they all made it easier for each other.
And they also would have been competing with Durant somewhere too.
That's true. So it's interesting hypothetically for sure, but this is going to be a fun year. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be fun.
John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, we're at the Chase Center Warrior Shop at Thrive City. More of your phone calls coming up, 888-957-9570. Connor Letourneau of the Chronicle will join us as well at 10:30.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz from Chase Center, more specifically the Warriors shop at Thrive City. The Warriors and Lakers tonight. That's right, tonight, right here at Chase Center. The first ever basketball game inside Chase Center will tip off just after 5 o'clock. We are here until 1 o'clock, so stop by and say hi. We're also taking your phone calls at 888-957-9570. Taking your calls on expectations for the Golden State Warriors. I still have them as a playoff team, Steiny, but it's interesting. Where do you think they're going to be in the West? I would say bottom half of those playoff teams right now, without Klay Thompson in the fold and with just so much change and so much unknown.
No doubt. I mean, I think there's a couple things here. You have to give the Warriors and Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond and Klay and Looney. You have to give them the respect they deserve. All right, they're three-time champions, but You also have to be realistic about the roster and how new and how different it is. And Steph Curry is a tremendous player, but he's not Superman. I mean, he can't make Jacob Evans a better player. He can't make Pascal 3 years older. And so it is going to be different. There's going to be, dare I say, growing pains. And the other thing is, think about even Steph Curry, even as great as he is, his role's going to change this year.
Yeah.
I mean, his role's going to change.
Well,
so, and of course he can handle it. Of course he'll be fine with it, but it's going to be changed and it's going to be different.
I think the other thing, and we've talked about this a little bit, but I think in addition to all the X's and O's and the basketball and everything, I think the other thing you got to factor in, and we're going to hear from Stephen Curry about something along these lines here, it's just going to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little weird. And I think it just with all the change and the different, and I'll give you an example out here. Let's hear from Stephen Curry a couple of days ago just on not having Andre Iguodala around.
Yeah, I texted Andre yesterday. I had a little heartfelt moment. Said, I miss you, bro. It's just weird not seeing him. You get used to so many, you know, faces and, you know, certain presence on the court. And, you know, those two guys were, you saw them, they, you know, you knew what time it was. And things changed, obviously. We talked about all summer and knew this kind of situation was happening, but this is definitely weird.
So, okay, JD, you were in that media availability.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard it before I saw it. And at first I thought he was kidding, like making light, like, woe is me, an exaggeration of woe is me. But the more it went on, the more I thought, you know, he's serious, and he is kind of feeling that. And let me just share this. On Monday, I had a moment to speak to Curry and just kind of catch up and say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, thanks, Steinmetz.
Yeah.
I was playing.
Yeah. No, by the way, did you hear what he did?
No.
You know how they do those liners?
Yeah.
Like Curry will read.
Yeah,
Stay tuned for Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Yeah, right. He did
apparently
one for you guys.
He said something like, you're listening to Bonte Steiny and Guru. Steiny? That the guy who thought I wasn't going to be any good?
That's good.
That's great. It's totally great. Anyway, I was talking to him, and we're just kind of, you know, I was like, dude, this is like, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years. I mean, I remember your first one, dude. Remember when you came in and Steven Jackson said he wanted to be traded and Monte said he couldn't play with you? And he's just kind of shaking his head, and he's like,
what a first
and don't
day.
Forget, he goes, don't forget Lucky. Remember, Lucky used to just run around here, and Nelly used to be falling asleep, and Lucky, of course, was Don Nelson's dog at the
yeah.
at the end there.
but
the one thing I know is so funny. But the one thing he did say was, "It's just really weird." He's like, "I feel like I've been traded because I'm in a totally new building, I'm in a new practice facility, and I have new teammates." So he's like, it's really kind of weird. It almost feels like I'm not on the same team. And that's what I was talking to you about. I do think there's going to be something intangible about the first couple months here that might not be a positive. And it's just these guys are like, you know, I was talking to Bob Meyer or Steve Kerr. They're moving in, and he's got other stuff going. He doesn't know where he's going to get his coffee in the morning. You know, Bob Myers has moved from Lafayette into the city, and he's trying to figure out, you know, you know, Bob Meyer says, you know, I think I got about 60-65% of the facility figured out, like where to go.
Well, I tell you what, I've been there. I was there 4 days in a row. And I couldn't get out all 4 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I literally could not get out.
So there is something to developing your routine. And these guys are still in the process of developing their routines. And I think that's going to, you know, that's what I mean. Everything is different. Just everything from top to bottom.
Connor Letourneau of the Chronicle is going to join us in about 5 minutes here. It's John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game, as we are with you until 1 o'clock out here at the Warriors Shop at Thrive City. I also think you can't discount part of what Curry said in that cut, which is you look around and you see those guys and you know what time it is.
Right.
And I think in times of, hey, we got to do something as a team, whether it's in an individual game or a point in the season where maybe you're struggling a little bit. All of the environment that the Warriors have had the last few years, all of that is a trigger. All of that is at different points leads you to a certain place. And I think if this team struggles, how are they going to find that confidence again, the players that have been here, or you know, are they going to look around and say, boy, this is different? Like, you know, all these guys are talented and smart enough to know maybe we can't do it.
Right.
Like, they're going to have to fight that.
No doubt.
I think with these young players.
Well, no doubt. I mean, think about Steph Curry. All right, he's best player on the team. Let's say best player, one of the best players in the league. And he is a leader, but he's a leader by example. But you know who Curry could look up to? Andre Iguodala. So even though Iguodala wasn't as great of a player as Steph, Steph went to Iguodala for all the like leadership type things. Or what do you think? How should we do this? What do you think's up with KD? You know, how do we get Draymond a little bit more on whatever? You know, hey, how do we tweak Steve Kerr to maybe go in this direction more on the offensive end? All those kind of things. When you're talking to Andre Iguodala, it's like you're talking to a sage. You know, you're going to take what he has to say and you're going to implement it. Not that Curry doesn't have convictions or great ideas either, but it's always nice to get some reinforcement and to know that, you know what, me, Iguodala, Livingston, Draymond, we're all on the same page. There's an unspoken thing
and
there. We've done it before.
And you all know how serious a problem really is.
Exactly. No doubt.
Or if it's not, or how much you got to ramp it up, or when it's time to dial it back. All of those things. in times of strife, in times of struggle. And look, this team could win 48 games this year,
okay.
and it's gonna be more of a struggle than it's been the last
right.
5 years.
Right,
no everything doubt. Could go right, and it's still going to be more of a struggle.
Yeah, and what do you think about the idea that you know, teams might really, you know, having had the Warriors win for 5 years, now they're down a little bit. Do you think teams are going to be like, wait, no mercy?
Yeah, they're not. Like, the Warriors aren't going to benefit from the fact that, you know, like some teams do that are, oh boy, they're not that good. Like, the Warriors are still going to get, for this year, the Warriors are still going to get everybody's best shot.
I think you might be right.
Because there. They're the Warriors, and they're coming in, and it's time to make some hay.
Right.
So, the Warrior, that's another thing that I think works against this team this year.
Right.
Is they are still going to be, now. Like,
right.
And especially
nobody's
guys
coming
gunning
in,
for Curry.
Nobody's coming in saying, you know what, Warriors, they ain't that good this
think
year.
Think about the two players that get most of the flack on the Warriors. Like, I don't consider Durant on it. Like, no player on another team, when Durant would come in with the Warriors, would say, I want to take it to Durant tonight.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Durant.
Be Draymond and Curry.
It would be Curry and Draymond.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
It would be Draymond for everything he does on the court, right? His impact on the game and some of the extracurricular stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there's guys on every team that are going to see Draymond and Curry. Oh, it's Draymond and Curry without right. Clay and without Durant?
Exactly. Let's see what you got now.
So they're not going to get they're going to have to play well.
Yeah.
There ain't going to be an easy night, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be something to that. And that's going to be another thing. Let me ask you this, and maybe we'll get into it after Connor or with Connor. Who do you expect to take the biggest jump for the Warriors as a player? And it can be a rookie who maybe does a little more than you think, even though he wasn't on the team last year.
Probably Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
It's
probably a good one.
I mean, you've got Steve Kerr talking about playing Kevon Looney, if healthy, 30-plus minutes.
Can he get you 12 to 14 a game?
I think they're hoping that.
That's true.
That his offensive game
he
could
might,
improve.
And he might be able to.
Pick-and-pop game, pick-and-roll game, maybe even shooting some threes. I know they've talked about, you know, him really working on, and he's talked about really working on his 3-point shot. But he's got to be healthy,
right?
And
this is why I find it so interesting, because when Kevon Looney's playing with Durant and he's playing with Curry and he's playing with Clay, and he's getting, you know, and they're leaving him open and he's getting cheapies and he's making his little 10-footers, and then you know, they double Steph so he can get an offensive rebound. You always wonder, will he get better? Or less, or will he get kind of worse if the team around him isn't as good? Because there are two ways it can go. Looney can take this and show, you know, like, Looney's pretty good. Or, oh boy, Looney needs to play with four superstars to be as effective as he was last year. We'll find that out about Looney. As it comes to Looney, I think he's pretty solid. I don't think he's going to take a huge jump forward. I don't think he'd ever take a huge jump back. He's always going to be able to defend and rebound. So that's just another thing of many, many to look at this year.
All right, let's get to our first guest on the program here. It's a pleasure to be joined by Warriors beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. It's Connor Letourneau. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Connor, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Connor, you look at everybody has their view throughout the offseason of everything that's happened and all the change around the Warriors. I want you to kind of gauge what you thought the first week might look like, given everything that's happened in the offseason, versus what you've actually seen in being around it, if that makes sense.
No, that's a great question. I was actually just talking to someone about this earlier. I was pretty bullish about the Warriors' pronostications and what they could do this upcoming season over the summer. When I was getting a lot of questions about it, I said, hey, you know, talk about them potentially missing the playoffs is ridiculous. This is a team that, when Clay is healthy, still has four All-Stars in their prime, and I think, you know, there's still a chance that they could contend. And I'm not saying I'm going to totally step away from that opinion, but after the first week of training camp, reality definitely sets in, and you look around the locker room, you look around the guys on the court, and you start to ask yourself, okay, how can they actually make this work? It's different to look at a piece of paper and look at a roster and talk about it as opposed to actually seeing the guys in the same room together. And there's just so many glaring issues that they have to work out. I mean, they have no proven defenders outside of Draymond. Their depth is non-existent, especially at the center spot. I mean, they had a couple relatively minor injuries, and they're looking at starting Amari Spellman in the preseason opener. He's really more of a stretch four. And then backing him up will be Marquise Chris, who probably isn't going to make the roster as a training camp invite. So that's where they're at right now, and it's game one. So it's going to be tough. But I do think that they have the championship pedigree, and they have the culture, and they have the right leaders. And if they can just kind of tread water a bit until Clay comes back in late February or early March, they still have a chance.
Connor, how do you think Steve Kerr is going into the season with Steph Curry in mind? Because it feels to me like he's going to need a lot out of Steph, but by the same token, he's also going to have to kind of be disciplined, because he does have to mitigate his minutes and also try to see what the youngsters can do.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting. I think as far as preseason, that you're going to see his minutes limited for sure. Steve has already talked about limiting their minutes in practice. I mean, there's going to be a lot of times where Steph and Draymond are going to say goodbye, halfway through practice, because the rest of the guys need the extra time to learn the system and get comfortable with each other. And Draymond and Steph obviously know what they're doing, but it'll be really interesting to see how they're managed going forward in the season. Steve's not ready to talk about any sort of rest days or anything like that. And I think it's the type of situation where this team might need Draymond and Steph at their best and playing as much as possible just to make the playoffs, given how long Clay is going to miss time. And so, you want them to be right when it comes to playoff time, but first you need to get to playoff time, right? So it's gonna be fascinating to watch. I think that's one of the biggest things he's really going to have to navigate.
I want to stick with Curry and the year that he could have. Without Klay Thompson, without Kevin Durant now around him, and working with D'Angelo Russell, and it looks like those two have really been working a lot together, especially in the open portion of practice that the media can view. There's some positive optics there, but how do you think Stephen Curry will thrive, having more of the load be on him? I mean, this is a year where he may be asked to play a little bit more like a James Harden or a Russell Westbrook. Is he equipped to do it? Do you think he understands that challenge in front of him? Is he looking forward to it? What's your read on Curry maybe having to go about his game a different way this season?
Yeah, I think Curry is, as we all know, a generational player, and he's more than capable of shouldering that burden and putting up insane numbers and having an MVP caliber season. I think the big concern is just what kind of effect is that going to have on him long-term into the playoffs and even next season, because at the end of the day, as transcendent of a shooter and player he is still a pretty small, slight-framed guy. And, you saw in the 2016 playoffs when he had that phenomenal, unreal rookie regular season, and then it kind of wore down in the playoffs. And so that would be a concern if you're really riding him heavily during the regular season. But like I said earlier, they might not have a lot of other options. Either they ride him heavily to get into the playoffs and see what they can do with a healthy Clay, or they just kind of wave the white flag at some point early in the season and say, this is really going to be a transitional year. We're going to really just focus on player development, and we're not going to try to push Draymond or Steph too hard.
Connor, we're speaking with Connor Letourneau, beat writer for the Chronicle. What would wave the white flag? Like, what would it look like? What would it have to look like for wave the white flag to become something that enters the equation?
I think they have a couple more injuries, and that same depth chart is is non-existent, and they start piling up losses, and you're kind of getting closer and closer to that All-Star break, and they're not really in the playoff hunt, or, you know, it's an outside chance. That would be my guess. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that this team has enough to avoid that kind of fate, even if they do have a couple more injuries. But you got to wonder, you know, if Willie Cauley-Stein, if this foot injury is more serious than people might initially think, if he has to miss a good chunk of the regular season, that's a huge deal. You know, they don't really have any other prototypical centers. I mean, there's been chatter that they worked out Hasheem Gabeit the other day, you know, a former top five pick whose career derailed years ago. He's 32 years old and been out of the league for a minute. And the fact that they're already kind of in that spot where they're looking at someone like Hasheem Gabeit doesn't bode super well.
No, it doesn't. I want to ask you about Curry. You know, he obviously shed his ankle injuries, his woes early in his career, and he's been pretty much an Iron Man from 2012 to 2017. Missed 31 games 2 years ago, 13 last year. Do you think he's got to put together a 75, 76 game season, you know, for the Warriors to be successful? I mean, what do you think happens if, let's just split the difference, and he misses 18 to 20 games this year?
Sorry, I missed the first part of your question. Were you talking about Draymond?
No, I'm sorry, Steph Curry. You know, he's been an Iron Man, but last two years.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was alluding to, is, you know, one or two more significant injuries, and we're talking about a completely different outlook of this season. I mean, Steph has had a nice run, but he had a nice run after the initial concerns about his ankles early in his career. But, yeah, you've definitely seen him look human and have some injuries that have sidelined him the past couple years. And, you know, they've been able to stay afloat with those, given the depth that they've had and having KD and what have you. But he misses 15 games this season. That's maybe a deal breaker in terms of what they're able to do. I mean, if Steph isn't healthy, really, what other offensive options they have? They have D'Angelo Russell, and then who's your number two scorer? Draymond Green?
Yeah,
that's not good. That's not ideal, right? So what we're seeing is just how precariously thin the Warriors are, and how, you know, injuries or what have you, things that wouldn't have sunk the ship in past years, are going to be devastating this year. I mean, when the news broke on the first day of training camp about Willie Cauley-Stein, I think a lot of people might have looked at that and said, oh, it's just Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, he's just going to miss some time, a few games at least in the regular season. That's no huge deal. Well, actually, Willie Cauley-Stein is really important to this team, given the makeup of this roster. So if he misses significant time, it's actually a really big deal. I mean, that's the new reality
right.
of the Warriors.
Connor, thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it. We'll see you out here tonight.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Connor Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson and Matt Stein, Mets Warriors this week, as we come to you live from Chase Center. And more specifically, we are at the team shop at Thrive City until 1 o'clock. I think the word that wasn't used there, but it really pertains to where the Warriors are at right now, it's fragile.
And it's kind of amazing we're saying that, because this is the team that, you know, had so many superstars. You almost didn't, oh, they're playing without Durant tonight. Yeah, so, oh, they're playing without Curry tonight. Yeah, that's fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, even if they lose,
right,
they'll
exactly.
run off 5-6 in a row. Be fine.
Thank you.
You know what? And you know what? They don't really need the one seed.
Thank you.
They don't need the one seed. They could win without the one seed.
No doubt.
They could beat Houston. They could beat whoever.
I mean, to me, I wonder how Steve – I think – so, let's say he comes out this season, and let's just talk backcourt. Curry and D'Angelo Russell are starting in the backcourt. Who comes out first? Who comes out when? How much does he play those two guys together? How much does he stagger them? How much does point guard does Curry play? You know, that's going to be also how much pick and roll are they playing? How much open or motion offense are they playing?
Well, you also have to factor in that, let's say you're going to play open, you're going to play motion, right? These guys haven't run.
I know it. I know. I know. And not like, only that, it's not really a conventional pro
it's
offense.
It's not simple.
No, it isn't.
It's highly effective.
Yeah.
But it also takes...
Well, it's a lot of reading.
It takes some basketball smarts.
No doubt.
And this is the other thing we haven't talked
about.
No doubt. Look, we don't know this team's IQ.
Right.
But the Warriors had an extremely intelligent basketball team the last 5-6 years.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of really smart players. And the roster's different.
Yeah, and what we saw with playing that open style is if you can get a core group to play it a few years in a row, it gets better and better and better. Well, they've got to now start over, and they've probably got to explain how to play it, even to a Willie Cauley-Stein or D'Angelo Russell, and of course the rookies. They probably, you know, they've got to teach it to them too.
All right, we'll get into more of that, more of your phone calls as well. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week with JD and Steiny on 95.7 The Game. I guess right now we should start the show.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Katie and Steiny until 1 o'clock out here at Chase Center. Man, this is cool. The Warrior Shop at Thrive City here until 1 o'clock. But really, we're going to be here all day long with the Warriors and the Lakers. A 5 o'clock tip. There's finally going to be a basketball game in this building. It seems like they've had every other kind of event, concert you possibly could imagine the last month, but really it's all been, in some ways, a test leading up to tonight. It's NBA basketball is the primary reason this place was built, and the Warriors are going to get a chance to show it off at 5 o'clock.
So yesterday I got shown around the whole facility, and it is pretty, it's pretty amazing.
It's phenomenal.
The suites... I'm not talking about the ones up top.
The
I'm
ones
talking
below
about
the lower level.
The ones
level,
that are below. So the Warriors have suites that are below the lower level. So they don't have court access. But if you buy a suite, you have access to 12 seats that are right by the court. So you watch the game. Then you go back into your suite. Well, when you go back into your suite, you have a huge screen that occupies one of the walls that face the court. And it has essentially a camera where your seat is. So when you're inside the suite, you can watch
you get the, view.
The game as if it were from your seat on
you
a huge video screen.
That view. You get the view as if you were in your seat.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's just, you know, it's like we're just in there and we're looking out in the court, and it's like, you know, it's like it's kind of like a virtual game you're watching.
Those are
expensive.
Well, yes, very, very much so. But those are unbelievable.
They really are.
I forgot exactly the point that I was going to make.
But I will say this too, JD. When you walk in, it does not feel like a massive venue. It feels, I wouldn't say compact, but it doesn't feel overwhelming.
No, it absolutely, and I think that bodes well for
too.
Sound.
Yeah, I think, and you know what? I've heard people, actually, my man Sal Castaneda, who works for KTVU, saw Metallica and the SF Symphony there, the first show, and he said the sound is absolutely incredible. He did. He said it was the best sound he's heard at a venue in a long time. So we'll see how it plays out for basketball games, and we'll see how much cheering Warrior fans are going to be doing this year as compared to last year. But the scoreboard's pretty amazing too. The scoreboard's got scoreboards on the inside of the scoreboard.
Yeah, because if you're sitting down low,
right,
it's you don't want to have to. Yeah. It's hard to look up and
especially
see everything.
A guy like me who's had some neck issues,
so you can just kind of glance up, and because it's at the bottom of the scoreboard and underneath, it's perfect for those that have that
exactly.
courtside seat.
And then, like something else, I heard from Eric Hausen. What's his official title? I always like to give his official title, but he's a big boy now. He was basically in charge of, you know, setting up the facility and how it's all going to work. But
director of
team operations. Thank you. He said one of the things that's really great for the players is essentially where they park their cars at the arena is. completely in proximity to the practice court, which is completely in proximity to the game arena.
It all makes sense.
They don't have to, the players don't, they're not walking from one end to the other. You know, it's all right there for the weight rooms right there. The offices of the coaches that they're in, the meeting rooms, it's all kind of right there. So it's very, very convenient for the players. And now the arena, stepping into the arena, I also like the way it looks from the outside, to tell you the truth. It's discreet. It's not overwhelming from the outside either. In fact, you could probably drive a street or two over and kind of miss it if
right.
you're not really looking for
and
it.
And then you turn down, yeah, you
exactly.
turn down the street that it's on, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. It's not tall, so the roof's relatively low.
And some of the views, by yeah. the way, from the concourses, especially upstairs.
Yeah, those just, I haven't seen.
Just
but,
tremendous. But, I mean, it really it is going to have more of a little bit of a ballpark kind of a vibe
right, right.
when you're walking around, which, look, it's impossible to get that when you're in the bowl.
Right.
But when you're walking around, it's really cool.
And I want to ask you this, and you might not know, and so if you don't, I apologize if you think I'm putting you on the spot, but the big screen outside in the plaza
yeah,
area?
Yeah, it's right over here.
Right. Will that be playing the games while they're all going
they're
on?
They're trying to create a little of that okay. Toronto vibe.
Well, that'll be pretty cool, too.
Which was very cool.
The other thing is there's a lot of stuff that's either just opening in terms of bars and restaurants. And you're right. Two years from now, this is going to be like
yeah.
a big neighborhood.
It's going to be great.
It's already.
It's going to be great now.
Right.
2 years from now, it's going to
yeah.
be more. 5 years from now, it's going to be wow. 10 years
exactly.
from now, it's going to be just unimaginable
yeah.
compared to the way it is.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's, you know, and this is where sometimes you got to take a step back, and what are we? We're in 2019, and Joe Lacob bought this team in 2010.
Yeah.
So you think about what he's done in a decade, under a decade. It's, you know, it's funny, and I always think of this because I was around then, but, you know, it came down to him and Larry Ellison. I was talking to this with some buddies the other day. Came down to Joe Lacob and Larry Ellison.
The majority of fans wanted Larry Ellison.
I would say 99%. Nobody yeah. knew who Joe Lacob was,
right?
Relatively speaking. And Ellison was, of course, one of the richest men in the world. But what I'm getting at is Larry Ellison, had he bought the team, there's no chance he could have. You know, like,
right.
I mean, yeah, I guess there's a 0.001% chance he could have gotten this done. Obviously, he could have built an arena on his own if he wanted. But my point is, you can't envision any more success in the first 10 years of an ownership than Joe Lacob and this ownership group has given the Bay Area. It's unfathomable what he's done, especially if you're old enough to remember the previous ownership group and the history of the Warriors before Joe Lacob.
And from where the Warriors were even just at that point in 2010, I mean, they were in shambles.
They were. They really were.
I mean, let's be honest, to go from that to perennial playoff team to championship-level dynasty, five finals in a row and three championships, and then this building opening tonight for basketball, on top of all of that, which just sets the franchise up for success again for the next two or three generations. I mean, it in some ways you could say tonight and this building opening is a greater accomplishment. I know Joe Lacob's joked about that. A greater accomplishment than even winning a championship or three.
Yeah, you know, when I think about this team and I think about the past ownership, and I don't know if this analogy doesn't work exactly, but if you remember back in 2006-07 when the Warriors had their We Believe.
Yeah.
And they you know, they beat Dallas and then they lose to Utah. That was the first piece of success this organization had in 12, 13 years. And I always learned that it's how people handle success is really, you know, important. And the bottom line is that team had 1 year of success, and the organization back then, I don't think really knew how to handle it. As limited as that success was, there was a sense almost of, okay, we've arrived a little bit now. We got Baron Davis, and I just don't think, I think they breathed a sigh of relief, or they thought they were ahead of where they were, and Baron Davis leaves and kaboom, it's all over again, and they go five straight years. What I'm getting at is it is going to be interesting to see where the organization goes from here. They've won three titles in 5 years. Good chance had they not been hit by injury, they would have won four in five. But now they're embarking on something different. So how's it going to go? How's the organization going to handle it? I remember a little bit about how Joe Lacob handled the early years when they weren't winning. He wasn't a happy camper. So, you know, he may have to adjust. You know, how's Joe Lacob going to deal with sitting in that first row at a brand new building and maybe they only go 25-16 at home? You know, how's he going to handle the home losses? How's everybody going to handle things? That's another thing I'm really interested to see. Because again, for the umpteenth time, this organization is in such a different place.
John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. We are halfway through here on a Saturday with you until 1 o'clock, broadcasting live from Chase Center, the Warriors shop at Thrive City. A couple of hours. I mean, they got stuff going on all day long out here. We're going to be out here until 1.
Hey, did I hear DJ?
Yeah.
Did I hear DJ?
Yeah, at 2 o'clock.
Okay. And from the store or somewhere out in the
it's
plaza?
It's going to be right here.
Oh, yeah. right here.
Right here.
Okay. Yeah, there's.
This is going to be the place to be, which is why, again, I got into this habit a little bit last year.
Right.
On these Saturdays where there are also games.
Sure.
I got in. You know what? Just make the whole day. Just whole day going to be right here. Got the game tonight. Maybe grab a little lunch. There's some pretty good food trucks around here as well.
Oh, is that what they're going to? Well, and there's a lot of restaurants popping up here and there. View out toward the water, pretty amazing. I mean,
driving in this morning, I'm like, damn. I was damn.
But just like, you know, it seemed like yesterday that Lacob was out on Piers, whatever
32,
it was.
32.
Yeah, 30 and 32 with Ahmad Rashad and David Stern.
It's 2012.
Yeah. And at that time, I was thinking they you can't build here. Like it has been tried. It's not going to work, you know? Okay, it didn't. And 7 years later, still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just incredible that, you know, San Francisco's got to have an arena. I mean, when I moved here in 90, almost 30 years ago, one of the first things I would say, why doesn't San Francisco have an arena? I mean, so to have an arena is something they should have had for a long time.
Let's open up the phone lines, 888-957-9570. A couple of questions we've been kicking around today. Just as simple as, what are your expectations for this Golden State Warriors team? Is it you know, is championship something that's still on the table for you as a Warrior fan for this year? If everything goes right, what does that have to look like? Is just getting into the playoffs good enough? The Warriors have essentially ruled Klay Thompson out until at least the All-Star break. So that has been, you know, squashed. The belief that maybe, oh, he could come back by New Year's, he could come back by the end of January, it's probably closer to March 1st
right.
than it's going to be toward, you know, certainly January or February, and the Warriors are going to have to hold themselves up to put themselves in a position where his return matters. So expectations are one thing. What do you need to see out of Curry and Draymond Green, and are you looking forward to? Because I got to think there's a certain part of the Warrior fan base, Steiny, that is looking forward to Stephen Curry being unleashed in a manner that he hasn't been the last 5 or 6 years.
I was in a meeting yesterday, and the boss went around the room to us, and he said, give me the one thing about the Warriors season. Give me one, like, what's the thing? And he looked at me, and I said, it's going to be different. Just everything will be different. And went to somebody else, I can't even remember who.
Yeah, it's probably Steiny or Bonte, or
Guru
Bonte.
Maybe it was, yeah, but Curry. Guru said Curry. Want to see how Curry plays? Well, he's going to be the man. He could probably he's going to get an opportunity to carry this team. And then Bonte said, "Want to see how good?" I think D'Angelo Russell is a big part of this. And I was like, you know what? That is, you know, him too. I mean, how good is D'Angelo Russell? The bottom line is, I really do believe this. The goal would be, to hope that D'Angelo Russell's so good that he's the heir apparent to Steph Curry, that they play together for 3 or 4 years, and then D'Angelo Russell becomes a starting point guard at 26, 27. Not that they can't play together.
But he is young enough to where you can
at least think like that. And I'm not saying Curry's going to retire in 3 years, but what I'm saying is, you know, 3 years, then all of a sudden, then it becomes D'Angelo Russell's team and Curry becomes the Tim Duncan to Kawhi Leonard or whatever it is. Now, is D'Angelo Russell that good? I mean, my first inclination would be I don't think so, but I'm more than open-minded to see how good this guy is.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Haterproof. Haterproof in the city. We appreciate him checking in on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Haterproof?
JD, Sonny, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, man, I love football, baseball. I love all the sports, but, man, am I glad to hear you guys back on Warriors weekend. Man, I love this stuff.
Thank you, man.
I'm really excited about this season, man, like big time. For one, you and Tish had mentioned it earlier about how boring the season had been for the last couple of years with Kevin Durant. You know, regular season didn't even matter. You know, we'd just be waiting until the playoffs. And even the playoffs, we were waiting until the Western Conference Finals to actually, you know, have some interest in these games. So I'm looking forward to that, just seeing, you know, not just a boring team, but like, so, you know, having to compete for these wins.
Yeah, know? Yeah, I'm with you.
And also, man, I have high expectations for this team. I kind of see this team as, you know, the Steve Nash Suns with D'Antoni, where they didn't play a whole lot of defense, but they were able to put up a bunch of points.
Yeah.
So I kind of see this team being kind of like that. Man, we have four All-Stars still. Yeah, Klay Thompson is injured, but we still have Draymond, Steph, D'Lo. I have high expectations, and plus our team got a lot younger and more athletic. I like Willie Cauley-Stein, Alec Burks. I don't know if you remember this, Steiny, but every time Utah would play the Warriors, Burks would get off on us.
I always kind of liked him. I think he's obviously taken a step back the last couple of years, but maybe it was the situation he was in.
Well, and he was picked one pick after Klay Thompson. 2011.
That I had forgotten about.
Klay was 11 and Alec Burks was 12.
Thanks, Haterproof. Appreciate the call, man. I don't know. I mean,
he's a bench player now, and I think the one thing you got to wonder, you know, the Warriors may have a guy that's more of a bench player playing the three for them this year. We haven't really talked about the three. And
exactly.
You know, there was something I actually asked Steve Kerr a couple of days ago. You know, just talking about the three spot, and I said, Steve, you know, is it fair to characterize the three spot for you guys this year in a similar fashion to the way you've, you know, used the center spot in the last few years?
Did he say good question?
He did not say good question.
I think that's a good question.
But he immediately said, no, don't look at it like they're similar at all.
Why?
And he was emphatic. I was glad I asked it because it was a really interesting answer, and maybe we'll pull up the exact quote on it. But his thought was no. In today's day and age, the small forward spot is maybe the most important position in the game when you look at the other players that are playing it, and that having a small forward by committee is a lot more difficult than playing center by committee. Centers, you know, it's just as you've alluded
interesting.
To. It, you know, the game's going away from the center.
That worries
a little bit.
Me then.
And he said, no, you look at Kawhi's and Paul George's and LeBron's and Durant's and all these, you know, talented players. He said, no, you hope and they hope that somebody steps up and can play a significant portion of those minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.